Well, we've been thinking this morning about pirates, slightly, as well as Easter and the message of Easter. And so it got me thinking when I was thinking about this morning, what do pirates and Christians really have in common? It's maybe a bizarre question to ask, but when you're a church that runs a pirate-themed club, it's probably worthwhile asking. So I had a couple of answers I came up with. Maybe both pirates and Christians can dress a bit oddly sometimes. We maybe not got the best fashion sense. Maybe we can be hard to understand at times. We use old-fashioned language. Pirates certainly do that. Christians can do it sometimes. But the common ground that I want us to think about this morning for a couple of minutes between pirates and Christians is this. Both pirates and Christians need to have their eyes fixed on the treasure that lies ahead of them. Or as we've been saying this week, treasure, which sounds like the way I usually say it anyway. But let me read a story that Jesus told. It's very short, and actually I can put it up on the screen here for us. From Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." So Jesus is saying here, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. What does he mean by that? Well, first of all, we need to think what he means by the kingdom of heaven. Because when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, what he's talking about are the people that Jesus calls to follow him and sort of God's way of doing things, the way of life that reflects God's character. That's what Jesus means when he talks about the kingdom of heaven. The people who follow him, who live lives that reflect God's character. And Jesus says the kingdom is like treasure hidden in a field. What is that about? Because when Jesus came to earth, he came to establish his kingdom here on earth. He started to do that by doing miracles and teaching, but the supreme moment when he set up his kingdom on earth was the events we remember at Easter, when he died on the cross and when he rose again. That bit that Mark just read for us there. So I want us to think about two reasons why the message of Easter is fantastic news for Christians. And I say it's great news for Christians because all the promises we're going to think about apply to you. So if you're a Christian here today, these promises apply to you. If you're not a Christian today, it's still great news because they could still apply to you if you understand who Jesus is and start following him. So, first of all, the good news of Easter, because Jesus rose from the dead, your future is glorious, we can learn. Now, there are so many amazing things about Jesus' resurrection, but the big one I want us to see here is that Jesus' resurrection was not a one-off. That's the bit that Mark just read for us from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself." So Paul says Jesus isn't the only one who's raised from the dead. One day, everyone who trusts in him will be raised from the dead. If you're a Christian here this morning, that is your future, okay? You'll be raised from the dead, and Jesus will finally establish a glorious new heavens and new earth for you to live in. That's because of what Jesus did that very first Easter. Our future is glorious. And you see, we need to hear that because actually heaven can often sound a bit boring in our culture. We just think heaven sounds a bit dull. Everyone's wearing white. We're all plucking harps. We're all eating Philadelphia cheese products. And it's just nothing much happens in heaven. But the Bible is really different when it talks about the future that we have. It's in a new creation that's solid, that's physical, that's recognizably like the world we live in today, where we'll have new bodies and can enjoy the new world that Jesus has given to us. So I want you to think for a minute. Think of a place that you love in this world, okay? It could be somewhere in this country, it could be abroad, it could be somewhere in the countryside, it could be a city. Think of one place in this world that you love. I'm going to give you a minute to think about that, and then I'm going to get some people to shout out answers. One place in the world you love. You can talk among yourselves for a second if you want. Or you can think. Okay, can we have a few suggestions of a place in the world that you love? Leicester, Paula says. The seaside. St. Lucia. Ethan. Centre Parks, brilliant. A few more? Perth, Australia or Scotland? Australia, okay, right. Joe? Edinburgh, Australia or Scotland? Scotland. Noah? Leicester, yes. Now you think of these beautiful places in the world, and actually they're just a glimmer, a first taste of what the new creation will be like. You might think Leicester's good now, but wait till you get to the new creation. It will be amazing. And that is the future that Jesus says lies ahead of people who trust in him. And you see, we need to know about the future that lies ahead of us, because Jesus is really honest with us. He says, sometimes, here and now, living for him will be hard. There will be tough times for us. Let me read the next little bit that Mark read for us from 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed every day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So the Apostle Paul, he knew all about trouble. He was put in prison, he was persecuted, he was mocked, he was beaten. He knew it was really easy to lose heart in this world. And we might not suffer the same way that Paul does, but actually we also might be mocked for following Jesus. We might struggle to trust that God's way is the best way. And because of that, we need to remember the future that lies in store for us. Because we don't have to lose heart, because Jesus has a great future for us. And that bit in Hebrews that's on the screen actually tells us that Jesus himself, when he went to the cross, he had to remember the glorious future ahead of him so he could keep going. The writer of Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. When Jesus was on the cross, he was being mocked. He was suffering agony on the cross. But what he was able to do was to fix his eyes on the joy that was ahead of him, the joy that would come when he would rescue people to be with him and make a whole new heavens and earth for them to live in. So we need to remember the joy ahead of us as Christians, because it is hard living for Jesus sometimes, but there is treasure waiting for us. Okay, I think it was Phoebe in the sitcom Friends. If you remember Friends, it was very big a few years ago. It's on all the time. But Phoebe would refuse to watch any film if it was a slightly bit depressing. So she'd stop films midway through if there was a depressing bit. She wouldn't stick going to the end when actually there might be a happy ending. So she couldn't watch It's a Wonderful Life or E.T. because E.T. dies but then he comes back. Or she couldn't watch anything sad because she just thought anything depressing, she's out of here. But actually she needed to stick to the end and to see the joy at the end of those films. And the same for us. Somebody's in the middle of things, we don't feel joyful. But like Jesus, we can fix our eyes on the joy set before us, the treasure that waits us, and that will help us keep trusting in Jesus. But the second thing, and very briefly, that we need to remember is that your future is glorious, but also, if the next slide comes up, your future starts here and now. So we've already seen that there's treasure ahead of Christians, and in the present it can be hard living for Jesus, but actually the future, eternal life, starts here and now. That's that bit in John 17. Jesus talking to his disciples the night before he goes to the cross. He says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So eternal life doesn't just start when we die, doesn't just start when we go to heaven. Eternal life begins here and now. We're adopted into God's family. We can pray to him. We've got God's people around us. We've got God's spirit inside us. So Jesus gives us the strength to live for him here and now. Eternal life begins today. So Easter Sunday, it is a great reminder and celebration for us. Jesus is alive. He is with us. He can keep us close to himself. And one day he's going to give us amazing treasure with him in the new creation he's made. Let me just pray for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that death was not able to hold you. Thank you that when you went to the cross to take our punishment, that wasn't the end of the story. But Lord, 3 days later, you rose again and defeated death. And one day you tell us, if we trust in you, we will rise as well to be with you forever and to enjoy a glorious new creation that's waiting for us. Thank you for that treasure that's ahead of us. Help us to keep trusting in you and to get excited more and more each day as we wait to see you face to face and enjoy everything you've won for us. We ask that for your glory. Amen.